Well, it is my pleasure to be here again with you this week. I'm truly thankful that you allow me this opportunity. And as Jane said, we're already at the halfway point. So this semester has just really flown by, at least for me. But this week, we again get to listen in on another discussion between Jesus and the Jewish leaders and people. And in the past chapters, we have been invited to come and see Jesus. And now, having seen him, we start to see ourselves and the offensiveness of our sin. So I'm just going to be upfront about a couple things right before we even start. Number one, I have been sick for about 10 days. I had no voice for 5 of those days, like at all. So this is really good, actually. But if I have a coughing fit or anything, my backup plan is just to have the small group that I sat in this morning just come up here. So if I'd been thinking, I would have just recorded that and then just played it for you. But also, I just want to be upfront and say that there is probably a better than average chance that I will offend you this week because I'm going to press hard on your relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to hear words directly from Jesus today, words originally written to the Jews, but no less applicable today. It's not an easy lesson, but as Kevin DeYoung says, if your Jesus never says hard things, then you have not the real Jesus. So let's read the passage together, and then we can talk through it. This is John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And they answered him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." And they said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is only one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." And the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." And so the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Father, we just ask for your presence this morning, for your grace. I just pray that your Spirit would give each of us a soft and a humble heart. I pray that even though these words feel all a muddle in my sick brain and in my weakness, I pray that your Spirit would be strong, that it would help each of us to see ourselves in this, that we would repent of our unbelief, and that we would cling tightly to you, that we would abide in you. Just thank you for the cross, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's remember where we are in this story. So things are getting more and more and more tense as we go here. And the Jewish leaders are constantly angry and offended. And we're around 6 months or so until Jesus will die on the cross. So last week, Jane taught that Jesus was teaching in the busiest place in the temple with great boldness. And we learned that Jesus is the light of the world and that he desires that we would all believe. And then the last verse we studied last week was, as he was saying these things, many believed. And that leads us into our first verse for today, which begins with so or then in some translations. So Jesus says to those who believed, here is a test to know if your faith is genuine. If you are genuinely my disciples or my students, you abide in my word. And when you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now note the use of the word will. There is no question. When you abide in the word, you will know the truth, and it will set you free. So what does it mean to abide in his word? The dictionary defines abide as to have or to hold within. One commentator said this of the word abide, it is welcoming it, being at home with it, and living with it so continuously that it becomes part of the believer's life, a permanent influence. So when we are students of the word, when we open the word and we see Jesus Christ, we see the truth of who he is, and we're set free. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So the people reply to Jesus with, what do you mean? We're from Abraham. We aren't slaves. How can you say that? And actually, when I first read this, whether it was sickness or just me not being that bright, I was like, I thought I skipped a verse. Because I was like, does this fit? But anyway, they may have picked up on the fact that Jesus was referring to spiritual freedom. Because if they didn't, this really makes no sense, because if you remember, their ancestors were slaves in Egypt, and they had been taken off in Assyria and Babylon, and even now they were under the command of Rome. And so, but their wheels are just spinning here, right? They're like, wait, we're from Abraham. We're the chosen people. Who do you think you're talking to? Right? We aren't slaves. So how can we become free? And Jesus was telling them what true belief looks like. And they say, well, what does that matter? We're from Abraham. And Jesus replies with truly, truly. And anytime you see truly, truly, it means pay attention, because this is significant. And Jesus says, truly, truly, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. It doesn't matter who your father is. So Jesus tells them in verse 32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then in verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But free from what? The bondage, the captivity, the imprisonment of sin. So here I go, getting up in your face a little bit. So have you believed that because your parents believe and you've always come to church, that you're not a slave to sin? Friend, as boldly and as kindly as I can say this, just because you say you are a Christian, that does not make you free. Just because you said a sinner's prayer when you were 3 years old, that does not make you free. Just because you can say the right things and do the right things and act the right way and debate great theological issues, that does not make you free. And just because you wake up every day vowing to try harder, that does not make you free. Just because your parents believe, that does not make you free. So you say, well, then how can I know if I'm free? Verse 36, right? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It is not your works, your parents, or any amount of trying harder that will set you free. Only Jesus Christ can free you from the bondage and the control of sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned. Right? We are all less than we should be. And you're not just a good person who makes some mistakes. And you're not a terrible person who there is no way Jesus will ever accept. What you are is a sinner with no hope of being anything else except a sinner. You're a slave to sin. Now the leaders, they didn't recognize that they even had a problem. As Jane said last week, they were full of pride. They didn't see themselves as sinners. They didn't see their need for Jesus, but they were sinners and they needed Jesus. One commentator said this, "The power of self-deception in the unconverted man is infinite." And it's the same for us. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. No matter how long or short, bad or not so bad you think that your sin list is, you are separated from God. We do not take our sin seriously enough. In our eyes, it may seem like a small thing, but it is a great sin. Listen to this story from David Platt's Follow Me that a friend shared with me to help me explain this concept. He says this, "The penalty for sin is not determined by our measure of it. Instead, the penalty of sin is determined by the magnitude of the one who is sinned against." If you sin against a log, you are not very guilty. On the other hand, if you sin against a man or a woman, then you are absolutely guilty. And ultimately, if you sin against an infinitely holy and eternal God, you are infinitely guilty and worthy of eternal punishment. Azim, an Arab follower of Jesus and friend of mine, that is David Platt's, was sharing the gospel recently with a taxi driver in his country. And the driver believed that he would pay for his sin for a little while in hell, but then he would surely go on to heaven after that, because he hadn't done too many bad things. So Azim said to him, "If I slapped you in the face, what would you do to me?" The taxi driver replied, "I would throw you out of my taxi." Azim continued, "Well, if I went up to a random guy on the street and I slapped him in the face, what would he do to me?" The driver said, "He would probably call his friends and beat you up." Azim asked, "Okay, well, what if I went to a policeman and I slapped him in the face? What would he do to me?" And the driver replied, "He would be beaten up for sure and then thrown in jail." But finally, Azim posed this question, "What if I went to the king of this country and I slapped him in the face? What would happen to me?" And the driver looked at Azim and awkwardly laughed. And he told Azim, "You would die." To this, Azim said, "So you see, the severity of sin's punishment is always a reflection of the position of the person who is sinned against. The driver thus realized that he had been severely underestimating the seriousness of his sin against God. Our sin deserves punishment. We deserve to die for it. But Jesus died for us in our place. His death and resurrection broke the curse of sin and death. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if you acknowledge who you are and what you deserve, and if you believe that Jesus Christ came to earth fully God, yet fully man, that he died on a cross to pay the penalty your sin required, that he endured separation from God so that you will never have to, that he died and rose again, that he defeated sin and death, you're free. And after all of that, how could we not love, worship, obey, and abide in him? Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Because of Jesus Christ, you are free from the bondage of sin. In verse 37, Jesus goes on, "I know who you are, yet you are trying to kill me because my words find no place in you. You're not my disciples because the word doesn't abide in you." And the leaders reply, "Well, Abraham is our father." Jesus tells them, "If Abraham was your father, you would be doing the works that Abraham did." Right? Do you remember the things about Abraham? Abraham, when God told him to circumcise himself and his entire household, he did it. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham believed that God would provide the lamb for that sacrifice, and he acted in obedience. Abraham welcomed the visitors to his tent before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus just told them, "You don't believe. You aren't sons of Abraham. You aren't acting anything like Abraham." The leaders then, they turn to personal attack and cycle back to another argument that they've used before. "Well, oh yeah? Well, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Right? This sexual immorality, a slam again against his so-called birth. And Jesus again tells them, "No, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God. Why don't you get it? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You're not true disciples. Your faith isn't real. My word doesn't abide in you." And this brings us to verse 44. Now Jesus has already said Abraham is not your father, and now God is not your father, and he takes it even further by saying you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Just imagine if I said that to you. You'd probably punch me in the face, right? I mean, this is offensive. But we all know good people. People who are kind and generous. People who follow the rules. Who are operate by some sort of moral code. But if they do not know Jesus Christ and abide in his word, they are children of the devil. That is not a popular thing or a fun thing to say, but that is what is true. Satan, or the devil as he is called here, is and has always been a murderer and a liar, and there is no truth in him. That's who he is. And from the very beginning, Satan has been trying to convince people that God cannot be trusted. He said to Eve, "Did God really say?" He's deceptive. Satan will try to convince you that God cannot be trusted. He will try to convince you that your sin will be worth it, that it will make you happy. He is a liar. He is not going to hold sin in front of you as something that's repulsive and disgusting. It's going to look good. It might even feel good. And you're going to think that he's right. This is going to make me happy. But the pleasure of sin is always temporary. So, right, when we look in the Word and we see what some examples of sin are, right, we see that it says gossip is a sin. We see that it says unrighteous or selfish anger is sin. We see that it says do not covet or desire your neighbor's house or your neighbor's stuff or your neighbor's husband. So when you do, it is sin. No matter how you try to justify it, no matter what kind of bow Satan wraps around it, do not be deceived. So Jesus goes on to say, I'm telling you the truth. Which one of you convicts me of sin? These people knew Jesus' character. They knew he wasn't guilty of any sin. They knew him. And Jesus tells them, you need me. You're a slave to sin. Why don't you believe me? And he answers his own question. You don't believe me because you don't hear my words, because you're not of me. And these Jewish leaders react exactly like, like most of us react when we are offended. We get super defensive, right? If you can't win the argument based on the issue at hand, no worries, I'll just attack your character. We see this on social media especially all the time. The leaders say, you aren't one of us. You're a Samaritan. You have a demon. It's almost funny, except for that it's so sad, the way this conversation is going. And this is, again, a horrible insult. Jesus didn't defend himself. He didn't try to explain his birth. He didn't get all, well, I'm not a Samaritan. He simply said, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. The words of Jesus are hard, and they're offensive to many. And we learned 2 weeks ago that we need to be bold, but make no mistake about it, that when you are bold for Jesus Christ, the attacks will come. They will attack your faith, and they will attack your character. And under no circumstance does that entitle you to attack back. Do not resort to name-calling and character assassination. With boldness and gentleness and kindness, you share the truth of the gospel. And you realize it will offend. But you follow the example of Jesus. Jesus kept pointing back to God. He endured every single bit of that mistreatment without becoming defensive, because Jesus wasn't seeking his own glory, but his Father's. Verse 51 brings us to another truly, truly statement. If anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. Again, another bold statement. And if you remember earlier in this discussion, or last week for us, since we broke it in chunks, Jesus told them three times that unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. And now he just said it again in a slightly different way. And the Jews absolutely explode at this point. Well, you definitely have a demon. Abraham died. The prophets died. And again, we see them think that Jesus is speaking of something physical when he's referring to something spiritual. This statement shows us several things. First, it shows us another conditional promise. If you keep my word, you will never see death. Never. At any time. That's ever. Charles Spurgeon says that the meaning behind the word see, when it states you will never see death, is a long, steady, exhaustive vision whereby we become slowly acquainted with the nature of the object to which it is directed. So in spiritual death, our soul would be separated from God, and we are all spiritually dead because of our sin. But because of Jesus Christ, we will never see death. And my opinion is that at this point, these Jewish leaders are absolutely livid. Like, you think you're greater than Abraham, than the prophets? Who do you make yourself out to be? Why should we believe you? In verse 56, Jesus tells them, Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and he was glad. Abraham rejoiced that Jesus was coming. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. And again, the Jews just think this guy is an absolute lunatic. You aren't even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Like, technically, Jesus had just said that Abraham had seen him. But aside from that, some commentators believe that they threw out 50 years old because they knew for sure he was younger than that. And others thought that maybe it was because in Numbers 4:3 it states that Levites work until the age of 50, and that's why they use that number. But either way, this leads us to our next I am statement, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Jesus just claimed to be God in multiple ways. He claimed existence before Abraham, and he introduced himself in the very way that God introduced himself to Moses in Exodus 3:14. Abraham had a beginning, but there never was when Jesus Christ was not. These leaders, they hated his teaching, Jesus' teaching. They hated his authority. They hated that the people were drawn to him. They hated that he talked to sinners and that he worked on the Sabbath, but it was this claim to be God that made them murder him on a cross. Either he was God and therefore worthy of worship, or he was completely insane. The leaders thought he was completely insane, and they picked up stones to kill him. But in God's sovereign plan, it was not time, so Jesus slipped away. So the question for each of us today is still, do you believe? Because either you believe and you worship, obey, and abide in Jesus Christ, and your life is one that reflects him as the most important thing in your life, or you do not believe. And Abraham is not your father, and God is not your father. Your father is the devil. So just like Jesus held before these hard-hearted and proud leaders who were coming against him with attack after attack and unbelief, he still holds before them salvation. He still holds before them, if you abide, if you keep my word, you'll be my disciple. You will never taste death. He invites them to believe. He invites us to believe. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Jesus can set you free. So again, I think we just have to honestly ask ourselves, do I believe? Lord, we just humbly do ask your forgiveness for all of the times that we say we believe, but we know that deep down we don't. We say we believe, and we maybe even believe in the big things, so to speak. We believe that you have saved us for eternity, but then we think that you aren't enough to help us with our everyday life. And we just ask for your forgiveness, and we ask for your help, that you would help us to believe, that you would help us to worship you, to adore you, and to abide in you. Just thank you for your patience, for your mercy, for dying on the cross on our behalf when we didn't deserve it. So just continue to be with us, continue to teach us and grow us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.